I get you.
Any questions about part one?
Shall I just flag, Chair? As I mentioned, the subcommittee met last Thursday. Their decisions were they agreed 2.1, they agreed 2.2, and in terms of the recommendation to Cabinet, because it's within Cabinet's terms of reference to set up the company, they suggested a slight tweak to that wording, so they've recommended a slightly different form of words to Cabinet, which is approve the principle of setting up a wholly owned holding company and trading companies, so pluralising that bit, for the purposes of development and letting existing and future assets. So they were just conscious of the fact that rather than having to come back on a second occasion to set up a development arm to at least get those companies set up. So a couple of minor amendments. That's what they're putting forward for Cabinet to consider next week.
Okay. Any questions?
Yes, I have one query, really. We don't own a lot of land, and there's only, in part two, three chunks of land that is probably viable. We set up a company, we have paid extra staff. If we haven't got a lot of land to develop, there could be a make and break where, you know, it's not profitable for us to develop certain sites because our overheads are high. We're paying directors and every Tom, Dick and Harry.
It's going to come down to the individual business plans for each site. I don't think the initial proposal, although mindful of Councillor Morris's suggestion, which we will consider, but it's unlikely initially that the company will have any paid employees. It's just going to be council staff consultants that we bring in. So therefore, we try and keep the overheads as low as possible. We do it project specific. So if you bring in some external expertise, you're just paying them for that project. If you tender a building contract, you're just paying them for that project. So we're not suggesting at this point that the council sets up an entire development company with 20 employees, including bricklayers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We will bring in all of that expertise on a project-by-project basis. Now, that ultimately might affect the bottom line if we're having to pay slightly more to do that, but that would be the model because that's going to be the quickest and most flexible way of doing it. And we can also look at things like prefabricated houses, so we're not necessarily tied to the traditional bricks and mortar type approach. Again, options to be considered.
Any other questions?
No.
I've just got a little question, which is around you, Anthony. You said at the beginning that the original driver for this was really trying to get income in quickly.
Yeah.
And then that became not as urgent. My only kind of question around that is, did we then at that point decide, is this sector the right thing for us to do in terms of our commercial venture, or is this the opportunity for us to stop and have a complete rethink? Because actually the reason why we chose this sector in part, or that's partly my question, the reason why we chose this sector in part is because we could get a quick return. Because the danger that we have is that we make a decision based on one need, that need goes away, and then we almost try to then put a plaster over it and create something out of it because we've done this amount of work, when actually we might have been better to just start again and see what other commercial ventures we could have done.
Completely understand the question and the logic behind it. So at the point at which, as I described it, the goalposts moved in terms of the revenue position, we were sufficiently far advanced on the outline business case that it didn't make sense to end it at that point, so we had that work concluded. We still believe that it is potentially a good investment for the council to look at housing development options. The reason why they weren't necessarily being considered first up, but were always on the back burner as potential future options, was just the lead-in time. Mm-hmm. We now have slightly less pressure, certainly on the revenue budget, but arguably more pressure on the capital budget. and actually, one way to generate a capital return is through housing development. And if you are successful, then you get a greater return than you would if you just sold the land. So we still think it's worth considering. It is worth acknowledging that a large number of local authorities are looking at residential property as a way of trying to generate both capital and revenue income. But I would also stress that this isn't being looked at the detriment of everything else, and the point was made at the subcommittee, and it is something that we're doing, that this report was just around residential property, but there is, of course, commercial property, mm-hmm. which the council already generates approximately £1 million of income a year anyway, without the need of trading companies and all the rest of it, from our commercial property holdings. And we will continue to scan the market on that. And if there are opportunities, we could make commercial property investments rather than residential property. And equally, if there are new areas of service or extensions of existing services or whatever it happens to be that we think there is a reasonable prospect of generating an income from, then certainly we shall look at it. Because whilst in the short term the revenue position has improved for the next couple of years, I say improved, it's not improved, but we've achieved the savings we needed for the next couple of years. There is still a budget gap by 2022, and there is every reason to think that whatever future changes are in store for us, we probably need to be building in additional sources of revenue just to safeguard against whatever those changes may be. So we are certainly going to be considering all options.
And you now have the breathing space to be able to do that more sensibly.
Yes.
And I think I heard that as you're going through the process, you're aligning that in terms of the corporate objectives of everything else that we do, and where you can get a two-for-one, if you will, you're going to take that opportunity. But equally, you're not going to be detrimental to the market that's out there and squish, for want of a better expression, the private sector.
No, if we're talking specifically housing development, we're not in it to compete with the big players. What we're looking at is trying to get a different and better return from our existing land holdings than the approach we've taken historically of just selling the land, and I think the point was made earlier, someone else making the money off it rather than us.
Gerald.
Sorry, I don't want to go on forever.
No, it's fine.
Are these larger sites, are they within the submission version of the local plan that we currently...
To be honest, I can't.
They're not, it might be a little bit problematic.
It's well worth checking. I think it's well worth checking.
I mean, I know the ones.
Clearly, that would factor into.
It's quite important,
isn't
it?
Yeah. Clearly, that would be a major factor in when we're assessing which sites to bring forward.
And the other point is, at the bottom of this list on page 149, you've got
which
the green
is in the part two report.
Sorry.
Are you referring to
the part two report, and we're part one.
Moving on swiftly, any more questions in part one? There you go, you got away with that. See, that's a really good way to not have to answer a question. It's in part two. Supporting the recs then. Yes, happy to support the recommendations.
Yeah.
And then that's all of our items. Right. We're done and dusted, 10 minutes over what I wanted to do, but I think we've done well for such a big agenda. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Isn't it?